September 27th is National Gay Men's HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. The good news is there's a trending decline each year in new HIV infections. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. You can email your questions or comments to jx@jeffnet.org. Joining me to raise awareness of key issues around the battle to stop the spread of HIV/AIDS is Michael Carfin, Director of the Division of Policy in the HIV/AIDS Bureau at the Health Resources and Services Administration. Welcome to the JX.
Thank you. Good morning, Mike.
Well, Michael, September 27th is near. What should the public be aware of?
So September 27th is National Gay Men's HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. And for us, with the HIV/AIDS Bureau in HRSA, which manages the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program, every day is HIV Awareness Day. But September 27th gives us the opportunity to raise information and raise awareness about HIV stigma, about getting tested for HIV, getting understand if your status, if you're HIV, if you have HIV, or if you're HIV negative, and to access prevention and or treatment services in order for you to live your best life.
Well, can you remind us of who Ryan White is or was?
So Ryan White was a teenager who in the 1980s who was diagnosed with HIV. He was a hemophiliac, and he acquired HIV through a blood transfusion. And he's a hero to many of us, to all of us in the HIV field, because he was a champion for everyone with HIV, and however they acquired HIV. And his campaign was for him to be able to go to school, which his school was not allowing him to do. And he activated the whole country and draw attention to this young person who wanted to live his best life and to value and respect people with HIV. And in 1990, Congress passed the Ryan White Care Act, in his honor. Unfortunately, he passed away right before the act was established, and the program that is his legacy for 34 years, which supplies funding to every state and to many different metropolitan areas and to thousands of community providers, medical and non-medical providers across the country, to provide a comprehensive, holistic set of services for people with HIV.
So, Michael, the CDC shows data that among gay and bisexual men, African American and Hispanic Latino men are overrepresented in the new cases of HIV infections at 26 and 24% respectively. Why?
So, that's a great question, Mike. And part of what this day gives us this opportunity is to discuss sort of what are some of those factors associated with HIV transmission. So a basic is that whenever there's a condition within a community, a communicable condition, if there's a high level of that, it means that just more people within that community could be susceptible to getting that condition. And that's part of the case among gay Black and African-American men and gay Latino men. So part of it is just how we started off with this epidemic and where we are today. But it's very interesting to note that while those are disproportionately affected, many of those individuals, and want to make sure that we are being respectful and valuing of these individuals, that most of their behaviors are actually very safe behaviors, but it's just having a higher percentage of people within that community who have HIV.
Well, Michael, a couple of years ago, during the annual HIV/AIDS Awareness Day messaging, the CDC introduced a shocking revelation. Now, we know that the most effective tool for HIV prevention is pre-exposure prophylaxis, otherwise known as PrEP. Yet, in 2021, the CDC revealed that among the population who could benefit from PrEP treatment, just 11% of African-American men were prescribed it, and 20% of Hispanic-Latino men, while 80% of white men within the qualifying population received the treatment. Has that enormous disparity in treatment changed?
So unfortunately, we haven't gotten to the levels that the opportunities for Black, African-American, and Latino gay men to access PrEP. And so this continues to be a priority. It's a priority under the National HIV/AIDS Strategy, which is a five-year plan that the White House has set out for federal agencies and for the country to address these disparities. And that is an important effort around outreach. Again, so September 27th gives us this chance to reinforce those messages about options for people. And there are options out there, including both what's considered daily PrEP, which is taking a single pill every day, which can prevent acquisition of HIV. There's also now long-acting injectables, so you can get a shot every 2 months, and that prevents you from getting HIV. So we need to get more the word out there. We also have to address stigma and homophobia and judgment on people that for some can be present itself as a barrier to accessing those kinds of services. Well, I also want to address another aspect of HIV, which is another huge development, which is what science tells us, that a person with HIV who takes their medication and becomes virally suppressed or undetectable cannot transmit HIV sexually to their partner. We call that undetectable equals untransmittable. So these combination of these two strategies and these two opportunities, both U equals U, undetectable equals untransmittable, and PrEP, give us the motivation and the opportunity to end the HIV epidemic in the United States.
I'm talking with Michael Carfin, Director of the Division of Policy in the HIV/AIDS Bureau at the Health Resources and Services Administration. You can join us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Michael, you said that stigma and lack of knowledge, I'm guessing, the messaging into Black and African-American and Hispanic-Latino communities is necessary. Are those the two main reasons why there's such an enormous disparity? It's just lack of knowledge and the stigma?
So it's a combination of part is stigma and or judgment that somehow accessing an opportunity such as pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP means it's saying that somebody is, quote, sexually irresponsible, when in fact they're being very responsible by taking a medication that prevents getting HIV. So that's an aspect of this. Another is provider education. So telling our medical providers to, again, not apply judgment here and just say, talk about sexual health. Do what we call a sexual history. So when you're talking to your patients, ask them about their sexual life and thereby say, okay, here's some options for you, and make that a routine part of somebody's standard of care. And that way it can be able to access a PrEP or be able to get HIV testing and treatment. A third is the education about the advances that we have in medications and science that it can help people make those choices themselves and be able to take charge of their health.
So, Michael, forgive me if I'm detecting something that may not be said here, but it seems like what I'm hearing is that there's a stigma within the medical community. Am I hearing that correctly?
I would say that there's sometimes a discomfort among medical providers to talk about sexual health. Medical providers can be very comfortable about talking about your blood sugar levels or your blood pressure, but when it comes to talking about sexual health, that's an area that they have some discomfort. And we've got to remove that discomfort. Because sexual health is a natural part of one's life course. And we have to be able to have those kinds of conversations in a way that people can live their best lives. We also have to put aside some ideologies or choices that people or opinions that people have and just be as what we call patient-centered. We think about persons, their whole life, their whole health, and we do that in an approach that says we have these candid and open, non-judgmental conversations.
Well, forgive my incredulity, but I was assuming that the medical community already understood that everyone that's walking through the door, regardless of their race or gender or whatever the challenges they're facing, I assume that the medical community is looking at that person as someone in need and providing a level of professional care regardless of the circumstances. Are you saying that that's not the case?
What I'm saying is we've been making a lot of inroads and progress there, but it's not always the case that sexual health is part of that sort of menu of health topics that are raised by providers with their patients. We have at the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program a terrific system of education for providers. It's called the AIDS Education Training Centers. We have them regionally across the country, including in the Northwest. We also have a national consultation line, so a provider can just call up this toll-free a line and be able to talk with a professional in HIV or in sexual health that can help them navigate this conversation with their patients. All of this information can be available on our website, which is ryanwhite.hrsa, that's HRSA.gov.
So, Michael, the CDC promotes an HIV self-test that can be taken at home. Tell us about this process.
So there's so many different options now for people in terms of getting HIV testing. And one of those options is a home test. There's a couple of test options, one which can give you a result within 20 minutes, and another one where you send it off and then with just a little drop of a blood fingerprint from your finger, and then you can get that test result within just a few days. That's at gettested.cdc.gov. There's also togethertakemehome.org, where you can, sorry, giving you all these website addresses, but I hope that you can post them some or make them available to your listeners as options. And those home tests gives you the opportunity to do that, to get those test results. And then, of course, it gives you the advice and information on how to follow up on those test results and providers that can be near you. And that's another service that we provide on the ryanwhite.hrsa.gov, is that you can find a provider that is close to where you live or where you work or elsewhere that's convenient for you.
So, Michael, we've got about maybe 40 seconds left, but you mentioned the HIV strategy, and HIV.gov offers a national HIV strategy. Can you quickly tell us what it is?
So the national HIV strategy quickly has sort of four pillars to it. One is about reducing new cases of HIV. Another is getting people getting people into treatment so they can become virally suppressed. A third is addressing the disparities that you were raising earlier. And the fourth one is better collaboration and coordination among our health systems at the government, the public and the private level that can, again, best provide that patient-centered care for everyone in our community.
I've been talking with Michael Carfin, Director of the Division of Policy in the HIV-AIDS Bureau at the Health Resources and Services Commission. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you, Mike.